when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 145 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin talks to Jake Langwith. Now, Jake is an expert on recruiting people in the internet marketing and sort of online marketing sector. And there's loads of tips here for people who are recruiting and candidates, all coming up in Internet Marketing.
So, Jake, in the world of kind of digital marketing and maybe in some of the specific disciplines like search, analytics and social media, is there kind of a bit of a skill shortage, or is it, you know, are employers finding it difficult to find good talent?
I'd say there's a huge skill shortage at the moment. I mean, social media is still a relatively new industry. So you don't see people with vast amounts of experience, and yet there's a really high demand on that side for people. So you find a lot of companies, predominantly agency side at the moment, who are looking for people with social media experience, but are really struggling, whether they're community managers, even down to social media analytics-based roles now, and your heads of social, major shortage. It's the same with SEO and analytics as well. Even though they are obviously much more mature markets, it seems that a lot of people entering the markets as kind of trainees seem to have gone into more traditional marketing avenues, leaving SEO and analytics with quite a shortage of people. Finding those guys, especially on SEO, who really are technically good, they're very knowledgeable, they know how to do SEO correctly, it's very hard. We find most of our clients do admit that they struggle to find good quality people. They see a lot of very bad quality people, but the guys that they want to employ, they really do struggle with, and I'd say it's a major issue.
And do you think that's just down to the fact that kind of even with search as an example, is probably one of the more developed disciplines within digital marketing, that there's just not that the volume of people there's just not enough people being recruited who have got enough experience? Or is it more to do with the fact that quite often these people who are the candidates, as it were, in the candidate employer mix are kind of tending to stay at roles for a long time or are setting up their own businesses? So is it kind of is it like people entering that's being the problem, or is it people not moving that's the problem?
I would say it's actually more to do with the volume of people in the marketplace. It's still quite a small kind of pool of people with experience, especially within search. Especially if you start to look at the senior level managers, heads of, most of those people do actually know each other as well, no matter whether they're in Brighton, London, Manchester. It's one of those industries, the actual pool of applicants is tiny, and not too many people jump around. It's not always a case that they're looking to stay at their firms for 5 years. You do still see people, especially if they've got, you know, ambitions and they want to move up, say they're an exec, they want to go to an account manager, account director, then maybe an SEO manager and into a head of search. They will actually jump ship probably every 12 months to 18 months in order to gain that promotion. But, you know, it's definitely really down to lack of volume of people in the industry.
And as a consequence of that kind of like difficulty then that in, you know, finding the talent, particularly at sort of the senior end, as you were discussing there, is there any particular tips or techniques or tricks that you've seen employers do to kind of try and stand out and get the best talent there?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down, I think, to branding for their companies. I mean, certain firms are extremely well known. Their staff are very active on the conference scene. You know, you'll see them at just about every major search conference. Their directors or their senior staff are speaking. Everybody knows who those particular companies are. Doesn't really matter who you speak to within search. If you mention one of those firms, like, oh yeah, I hear really good things about them. You know, I'd like to go and see them. And it's because they're really promoting themselves well. Many of them are actually very good companies as well. You know, you see their guys speak. They're very ethical in the way they do the business. They find it maybe a little bit easier to attract staff because people will go directly to them. But that would be a major tip for a firm. I mean, a lot of companies seem to kind of operate below the radar, so to speak. And people don't know them. They don't know their reputation. They don't know if they're any good. They're not sure if they're going to be going there and suddenly they're going to be given very unethical kind of search practices to kind of deal with, or maybe they'll be dealing with clients that aren't really the type they want to do business for. Mm-hmm. And so I say that would be a major kind of problem.
And do you think that any of those kind of employers that have kind of got this employee branding right, is there particular trends or particular things that they do well that perhaps some of the other companies that struggle a bit don't do? And so if you're kind of one of those organisations, you're looking to take on talent, you found it a little bit difficult to find the talent that you really want, you want to try and kind of be one of these organisations that people come to instinctively, do you think that there's particular things that people can do? And are these agencies or in-house teams that are doing particularly well on this front, are they actively trying to be good employee brands, or are they just doing it kind of indirectly because that's the way they go about doing business?
I think a lot of them are actually actively doing it. I mean, I'm sure we could mention two or three really well-known firms where they speak everywhere. And I would say it's an active policy of theirs to have their company in the forefront of everyone in the industry so that everyone knows who they are. I mean, they even organise conferences themselves. Mm. You know, it's great branding for them as companies. So I'd say it's active. Some it's indirect, especially when you go client side and, you know, for the kind of in-house teams, they may not necessarily promote their kind of SEO teams externally, mm-hmm. but as a whole, the company are branding themselves well. You look at your Marks and Spencers and companies like that. They have huge advertising on the TV, in print media, the household names. Everybody knows who they are. When companies like that have a position come up, they sometimes find it easier to attract someone because everybody knows who they are. Yeah. And some of those firms are actually perceived as really good employers, whether they are or aren't, it's a different matter. But in someone's mind, they think, oh, great, yeah, I'd love to work at that company. And they might find it easier to actually attract talent to them, whether it's directly or through recruiters.
And flipping it onto kind of the candidate side then, are there kind of particular attributes or things that people do in the recruitment process from the candidate perspective that helps them do well in the job market, or things that they do badly, you know, kind of gripes that kind of wind you up as a kind of, you know, middleman in this process?
Yeah, well, I suppose as the middleman, our biggest gripe is clients are actually slow with us, to be perfectly honest. You know, you get them people and have to wait weeks to hear back from their HR departments, mm-hmm. simply because the larger the firm, sometimes the red tape's bad. But for, you know, actual applicants who want to kind of promote themselves a little bit more, I think it's good if they're quite active bloggers. You know, if they've got their own mm-hmm. personal blog, they're writing, let's say we're talking about SEO, they're writing about SEO. It's clear that they know what they're writing about as well, and they know their subject yeah. matter. Maybe they offer to guest blog on sites, whether, you know, it's status search or places like that. Again, they're building up their own personal branding. Perhaps they're quite active on Twitter. And again, maybe SEO matters they're talking about. You might see that they're actively engaging with very well-known people in the industry. When, as recruiters and headhunters, when we see people like that, we're more inclined to kind of give them a call, network yep. with them. Because you're seeing, I suppose, respect coming from their peers within the industry. Yeah. And even when we speak to people, we know, say, hey, XYZ, you know, how would you rate them? And we'll be told, actually, I think they're a really good guy. They're, you know, up-and-coming yeah. person. And that's what we look out for. Mm.
And how would you say then for candidates to deal with it? Because I'm sure pretty much everyone who's listening has been there. They've kind of been on LinkedIn and the recruiters are using that kind of as a means of finding people who may not be actively recruiting for roles. And they kind of speculatively reach out to people. And I suppose that's kind of the nature of the job, is that you're a kind of a headhunter, aren't you? So you're trying to find these people who might not have been thinking to look for a job and trying to kind of plant the seed there. But potentially, you know, you could have dozens of these people that, you know, might contact you. How, you know, I know as a recruiter, you know, you've probably got a slightly different perspective, but, you know, is there particular things that candidates should be looking out for before they choose a particular recruiter? Or should they just kind of go, okay, well, I should hedge bets here and kind of go with as many as they can do?
I definitely wouldn't go with as many as you can. You know, there's recruiters and there's recruiters, you know, and I'm certainly not going to name names. But some, I think, are more ethical than others. I think when an applicant deals with a recruiter, they should make it clear, I only want my details sent to companies that you discuss with me. I want to know who the company is. I want to know what the job spec is. It is actually a legal requirement, to be honest with you. But a lot of recruiters ignore that. They'll find someone, let's say as an example, they'll find someone's CV on a job board, think that looks halfway okay, and they're basically doing a spam mail shot to maybe 50, 60 different companies in the kind of catchment area for that person, and you really don't know whose desk your details are going to be landing on. As I said, it's against the law, and it's extremely unethical, I think, to deal with someone.
But common practice, is it? You know,
actually say it's really common practice within the recruitment industry. I think it's probably one of the biggest gripes I hear from applicants is it's either been done to them or they're really concerned that they're not sure where their details will go to. So they should make it quite clear to a recruiter, only send me to companies that you discuss with me and have my permission with in advance.
And is there anything that they can particularly be doing, you know, whether it's going direct or via a recruiter, a candidate, as it were, to kind of stand out above and beyond some of that personal branding stuff? So is it, you know, should they be spent, you know, I've seen some people who've done like CV infographics and that type of thing, which seem quite impressive. But then equally, I was at an event recently and with a bunch of employers who were taking on graduates and complaining about the fact that everyone had these super duper fancy CVs that, you know, looked amazing but didn't really say anything. Do you know what I mean? Is there particular tips like that, you know?
We see that quite a lot with some CVs. They look lovely, full of graphics, but they're all show and no tell. From a recruiter's point of view, we actually don't want to see that anyway, because all CVs are put through databases. End clients have the same databases as we use as well, and it generally screws up the actual formatting on a CV. And so if someone, you know, the hiring manager sees it and the space in between the words is all out, they may not read through that CV, even though the person's good. They could just hit the delete button and say, no, thank you. So I would keep a CV reasonably traditional, to be honest, preferably in a Word format. PDFs don't convert too well onto recruitment databases, again, whether it's agency or in-house. So those are things to bear in mind, and be honest in a CV. I mean, obviously you have your personal details at the top, but you should always write a kind of brief paragraph, just outlining your career history and achievements, things that you've had real successes with. You know, I know it gets thrown out all the time as an example, say car insurance within search. But say you work for a firm and that's one of the industries you've been obviously conducting natural search for and you've had some really great results, it would be worth putting on. You know, we took X client to number one position within Google for the term car insurance. Yeah. We did it this way. Obviously, if you're buying links, don't put that in the CV. But, you know, the natural search techniques, because people want to see that. They want to see the benefit that applicant will bring to the company.
And kind of talking about those databases, Jay, do you then think that there's kind of a process that people ought to be thinking about, maybe some of the keywords?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
...that they're including in their CV. Because, you know, is that, you know, do you then go, okay, well, I know that analytics is a skill that's, you know, being sought after, so I should be referring to analytics. But, okay, maybe people are interested in a particular knowledge of a particular analytics program. So should you be listing all of those that might not perhaps necessarily read amazingly well or look amazingly well on a CV, but actually when it gets into a database, it's really useful to have those keywords there, if that's the kind of way that people search on those databases.
Yes, actually, they should. I mean, the industry is heavily computerized, whether it's from a recruitment database point of view on my side of the desk or in-house. If you look at really huge corporate firms, if you take into account, say, IBM, Microsoft, RBS, they have very advanced recruitment databases, and sometimes it's a computer that does a keyword match from a CV that's sent in, and that decides whether it goes to their recruitment team or the hiring manager. And a lot of people actually aren't aware that that happens. They always think, oh no, it's a human who's going to look at my details, and it's just not the case anymore. So you do want those words in there. I mean, if you're doing web analytics, obviously you want web analytics in your CV. If you're using Omniture, have that in there. If you're obviously using Site Catalyst, make sure that's on there. If you've got Maximizer, Web Trends, Core Metrics, have these softwares in there. I mean, you don't want to write a spammy looking CV. You know, you still want to write it for a human viewer, same as you would for content on a web page. So, I mean, I would recommend maybe having a kind of a table within your CV or a section that outlines software packages used. But if you're using them, obviously, within your day job, say your current role, you know, put in there, you know, I'm a web analytics specialist. We currently use Omniture Site Catalyst for the analytics data and have it within the body of the text. But written out for a human. But a computer will look at this and it picks those words out. It's probably worth trying to get them in there a handful of times without spamming the CV, to be honest. Because, you will get, as an example, our databases here, if we do a search on there, it will list CVs in order of how many times those words have appeared. So the more it is, the more at the top it comes up. So you might say, all right, that's in there 8 times. That person probably is an Omniture expert. Let's take a look. 9 times out of 10, it turns out they are, you know, say an analytics person.
Okay. And so you talked a bit there about kind of the recruitment process that some of the, you know, the big organisations go through. I know a lot of the people who listen to this podcast might be 1-2-man, 3-man bands. And for them, you know, making a recruit can be a real significant business decision as much as a recruitment decision. Is there anything in particular you think those people can learn from who perhaps don't have the funds to kind of go to a recruiter that they can learn from the people that do use recruiters and those big organisations that do have that kind of complex HR recruitment process?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, their biggest friend for the small business who are looking to hire, can't afford to use headhunters or recruiters, is actually LinkedIn. It's an amazing tool. Because if you go to, like, your job site and Monsters, they're actually they are very expensive to use to do their CV searching. LinkedIn is free, especially if you have a good network. I'd recommend a small business owner, say they've got a small SEO agency, connecting with a lot of their peers within the industry. As you know, it's actually a really friendly industry. People are quite happy to help out. Connecting with them on LinkedIn, your networks are going to expand massively to the point that you'll probably, when you do a search for an SEO, be able to bring up 200-300 people within the kind of catchment area of where your company's based.
Yeah.
And then go through there. You may find that some of those people, you'll see who they're connected to, and think, okay, Kelvin knows that person. Maybe I'll give Kelvin a call and say, look, we need to take someone on. We noticed that you know, Barry Smith over at XYZ. Would you be able to make an introduction? And you might say, yes, actually, he's a really nice guy. Put the introduction in. Or they can pick up the phone to that person themselves. Or if they want to pay for a LinkedIn account, which is not too expensive. I think the best one for you is about $99. You get 25 emails a month. They could then email that person directly through LinkedIn to approach them, see if they'd be interested in joining them. And once they've finished the recruitment process, as you're not tied in on a contract with LinkedIn, just cancel the account. So you know, only pay for it during that period where you're looking for staff. But they would find that a really cost-effective, cheap way to find people.
And any particular tips when making that outreach to someone who, you know, as a recruiter, talking to a candidate who you think on paper looks really good, but hasn't, you don't know if they're looking for a job, you don't know if they'd be interested in your role. Any advice that you've got from making those types of approaches that you know, in your mind means that, you know, that's a good thing to do if you're a company owner making those kind of approaches?
Definitely confidentiality, I think, would be the first thing. People are always worried that their current employer will find out that maybe they're looking, or maybe a little worried just the fact they've been approached by someone. And I know some direct clients feel a little bit funny as well. Should we really be trying to attract someone from a competitor? You know, is that not the done thing? But I don't think they should worry about it. It's their business and it's their livelihood. And they need to attract people to their own companies in order to grow. So firstly, let that person know, look, I'd like to have a confidential discussion with you regarding an opportunity with us. Give them some brief details about the position. I wouldn't necessarily mention what you're looking to pay straight away. If you say, look, we're looking to pay up to £50,000, you've set an expectation in the applicant's mind that he wants £50,000. He might only be earning £30,000. So you could have killed the potential of that person coming on board from a monetary point of view immediately. So I'd deal with that later on once you've had that discussion. I'd keep the email relatively brief as well, to kind of finish off with, look, we'd like to kind of have a chat with you. Do you have a mobile number? If not, here's our phone number. Give us a call. We're happy to speak outside of work hours. And then from there, you know, the more personable side takes effect and, you know, you speak on the phone or face-to-face and give them more details about the position.
Cool. And to finish up off, Jake, I know quite a few people who listen to the show are either not working in digital media at the moment or are kind of studying at the moment and kind of maybe looking for particular areas that there's huge opportunities in the future. Are there any kind of general trends that you're seeing that the kind of, if you were a candidate, you know, starting out trying to break into the sector, particular skill sets or areas of expertise or, you know, good first jobs to take to try and progress quickly in a digital marketing career? Are there any kind of particular trends that you've seen in that area?
SEO, I'd say there's a vast amount of jobs, especially at the trainee end. You know, whether you're coming in as a graduate or an intern, most companies do actually want to take people on, or especially with interns, will give someone the chance. You know, there's a lot of work they need doing within SEO that some of the more senior guys just aren't going to get their hands dirty with, but someone has to do it. So you'll find opportunities there. So just approach every one of the digital agencies. I think you'd find most of them would probably come back to you and say, actually, we are looking for people, and have a chat with them. Social media is another really, really big area where there's a lot of work. We've seen lots of digital agencies opening up large social media teams. PR agencies, they love social media at the moment. Most of those are kind of rapidly expanding their teams as well. That's another area to get into. Web analytics is a great area to go into, but it is a lot more technical, and I think it suits a certain type of person because it's not just a case of, oh, hey, I've used Google Analytics. They are actually data-driven people. You know, they're kind of slicing and dicing data. they generally come out of universities with degrees in physics, maths, computer science. You know, we see a lot of guys with PhDs within that industry. So you have to have that kind of mathematical kind of bent to your mindset if you want to go into that. And if you don't enjoy that side of business, I wouldn't recommend going into analytics. There's always a load of work within paid search as well. I mean, if you look at a lot of the agencies, the paid search teams are often 3-4 times larger than the natural search teams. Certainly true if you look, say, within some of the Group M companies. That's an area to get into. I think you'll generally find there's always work, and they're always looking for people. You know, and as I said, if you're a graduate, just volunteer as an intern. If you're struggling to find paid work, go and do free work.
One final question on the kind of around the careers aspect. Do you find that people with particular degrees tend to find it a little bit easier when they're moving on, or people who've done MAs or MSCs? Do you think that that's kind of helpful for people?
Within search now, I actually don't think it makes much of a difference, to be honest with you. I come out from an IT recruitment background originally, and we'd get asked, they've got to be a top 10 university, want Cambridge, want Oxford, want a PhD, must be a first, has to be physics. But within the search industry, you don't get asked for that. What they want are people who are just talented, people that are really passionate about what they do and about the industry. People, you know, they'll go home in the evening and they're constantly researching. They live and breathe it. They network extensively with other, say, SEOs within the industry. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about what your degree's in, where it's from. And I don't think you really need to do a master's or an MBA or anything. You know, maybe if you're really, really ambitious, you want to be group director of WPP or something, then perhaps an MBA might be useful. But there's plenty of studies online that show people have taken time out to do their MBA, when they finished and gone back into work, earned 20 to 30% less than the people who just stayed in their jobs. I kind of think it's probably worth staying in your job.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thanks for that, Jake. Some really interesting insights there. And, you know, it's an interesting world that quite often doesn't get talked about in the world of digital media. People talk a lot about the doing of digital media, but they don't often talk too much about the very important process of companies hiring new talent, which you need to do if you want to grow or, you know, expand. And the whole process of, you know, changing jobs as well, which is, you know, an inevitable part of the kind of circle of life of a career as well.
It is. I mean, I'd also add as well, for applicants who are looking for work, you know, they can be proactive themselves on things like LinkedIn. I know not everyone's confident enough to do it, but they could go on and literally do a search for head of search, head of SEO, SEO manager. You know, so they're looking in London for a job. Ring up the SEO manager in London. Just then get the phone number for that particular company and phone the person up and ask if they're actually looking for anybody. You know, they may find that company is in the market for someone. They're not advertising. They may not be using recruiters, because not everybody does. And, you know, they get their details in there. They're actually the only applicant for that job. They might find it a lot easier. So I would recommend people be proactive as well.
Fantastic. Really good advice there, Jake. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact,
you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.